inspire us, that we might be able to make good use of this time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege. We do want to thank you for allowing us the privilege of being able to come in and have our souls refreshed, to be recharged spiritually, Lord, to be refocused on our spiritual life. And I pray you'll help us. We look into your word, help us with these few simple thoughts that we might gain in our Christian walk, that we might be better equipped to live this life and make heaven our home. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I feel compelled. Usually on Wednesday night, I like to encourage you. I mean, I do. I go to the Psalms frequently. I like to encourage. But there's times we need challenges as well, or warnings. And we are in the Psalms, so that's we're halfway there. But it is a little bit more of a warning than an encouragement tonight. But we live in a time of wickedness. You know, there's dangers. And I mention it often. We live in a time of apostasy. There's dangers that go along with apostasy. There's dangers of discouragement. There's dangers of disappointment. There's dangers of drawing back, you know, and not putting in our best effort. There's dangers in a time of wickedness. And one of those dangers in a time of wickedness is that we grow accustomed to it, that we grow accustomed to the wickedness around us. You know, society, I am stunned, but society is accepting wickedness in all kinds of forms, more and more. Seems like the pace has picked up. You know, it was pushing that way, but it seems like the last few years it's just accelerated. Tolerance of all kinds of things that are evil. Nothing seems to shock people much anymore. And unfortunately, the church is going right along with accepting a lot of that wickedness. I was talking to a good brother at Sister Lacey's party that was there singing with Brother Dakota's group and had pastored someplace, and he had resigned because the group he is a part of started ordaining homosexuals. And he said, I just can't go along with that. And, you know, it's wickedness has pervaded our society. And we need caution. Matthew tells us because wickedness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. In a time when wickedness abounds, it has a tendency to cause us to lose our fervor for holiness and righteousness. But God's not changed his mind concerning sin, concerning wickedness, and concerning evil. Amen? Text tonight in the 97th Psalm. Very familiar. 97th Psalm, first part of verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. And I look back through my notes every now and then. I know I hit this subject every so often. But I think it's a need in our day and time. You who love the Lord hate evil. You know, we need to be careful. We not get so used to sin and wickedness around us that it lose its wickedness in our eyes. That we get accustomed to it, that it no longer looks evil. It no longer looks wicked. Sometimes you get used to the dark if you're not careful. Sometimes it becomes a condition of life and it doesn't affect us. It doesn't cause us concern that it ought to cause us. You know, one of the keys to seeing evil and hating evil is to see the wickedness of it. Amen? If you're going to hate evil, you can't see it as just being neutral. You got to see the wickedness of it. We can lose sight of the wickedness of sin. I even hear preaching sometimes that distresses me along this line. It's easy to lose sight of the sinfulness of sin. Sin and evil are rarely engaged in for the sake of being evil, right? I mean, people who sin, they're not trying to be evil. I mean, rarely. Most of them are doing it, just choosing self-indulgence, self-satisfaction. That's the attraction of sin, of doing what we want to do. I mean, it's a sin's choosing some pleasure or some advantage for ourselves without a right regard to God and a right regard to others. God is a good and loving God. Amen? God is a good and loving God. God is a holy God. All of God's laws are good, fair, just, and holy. Everything he's commanded us is good. Everything he commanded us is fair. Everything he commanded us is right. When God said it's wrong, he said it's wrong because it's bad. Sometimes we get the impression that God just made a list of things we couldn't do. And if you do them, you're going to go to hell. So therefore, we don't do them because we want to make heaven our home. That isn't the way it is. God told us what was right because it was right. It didn't just become evil because God said so. God said so because it was evil. And there's a difference there. There's a difference. God declared it evil because that's what it was. Anything God, you know, I hear preaching leaves the impression, oh, you can go out there and have all kinds of fun, but you're going to lose your soul. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can't go out there and have all kinds of fun. There's a price to living in sin, folks. It does. I mean, it may look good, and there's a certain pleasure of self-indulgence, but I'm going to tell you something. Sin is bad. Sin leads to pain. Sin leads to death. Amen? We need to get this right. It ain't that we have to restrict ourselves from fun to make it home to heaven. It isn't that God's restricted us from all these things and we just have to buckle down and do it to make it to heaven. God said it's wrong because it's wrong, because it's evil, because it's destructive. Amen? Every law and commandment given by God reflects God's loving care for us. It reflects how we ought to love God above everything else and how we ought to love others as ourselves. It shows us how to conduct ourselves in a right way in our relationship with God and in a right way with one another. Amen? Breaking any law or commandment shows that we love ourselves. Amen? Above our love for God or anybody else. At that moment, that's what we've chosen. Sin is choosing to please ourselves without a proper regard how it affects God's or others. Selfishness is the essence of sin. It's want. You ever seen a little kid that is selfish, or maybe not a little kid, you ever seen an adult that's filled with selfishness? It's an ugly thing, isn't it? It's an ugly thing. But all sin is selfishness to one degree or another. There are pleasures in sin because there's always a lure of self-indulgence. I mean, there's things that we can take gain, pleasure, or other things at the expense of somebody else that might bring a momentary enjoyment. But we need to see the wickedness of sin. All the suffering. Now listen to me. People don't want to believe this, but all the suffering in this world is a result of sin or the curse of sin. All of it. Without that, this place would be heaven. Without sin and the curse of sin, it would be heaven here. Amen? It was in the Garden of Eden before sin entered in. Come on. The sentence of death, the people didn't die before sin entered in. The sentence of death and corruption was passed on the whole earth at that time. All pain, all relationship problems, all the suffering in this world, directly or indirectly, is the result of sin or the curse of sin. You hear me? Amen? Now I want us to get this, because I want you to see the ugliness of sin, the evil of sin, the lack of love, the lack of regard for others. You ever seen anybody take advantage of somebody, push them around, beat them around, I mean, however it is? That's an angering thing, right? Well, that's the essence of sin. To one degree or another, that's the essence of all sin. You ever seen the injury and abuse of others? It's a result of sin. Sin destroys. It destroys the body. It destroys the mind. It destroys the soul. Amen? Sin is a destructive thing. Look at people that engage in sin all their life. It has an effect on their mind, effect on their body, effect on their soul. Amen? We need to see the ugliness of sin and selfishness. The wickedness of sin can be seen as downward tendency. I want to tell you something. Engaging in sin, leaving the path of doing what's right and engaging sin does not lift somebody up and make them a better person. You hear me? It does not lift them up and make them a better person. It is a downward spiral into degradation. That's the path that sin has. That's the wickedness. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up the vile affections for even the women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things that are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can you see the down spiral of sin? Did you hear that? When people reject the God and God's way, it's like I always envision it like a big whirlpool that just sucks people in. You know, the current's not too bad at the top of the whirlpool when you get in. You can kind of tell this ain't right, you know, but boy, as it picks up steam, it drags people farther and farther down. One of the reasons why is sin always promises more than it gives you. There's always the lure of thinking you're going to, it don't ever satisfy like people think it's going to. It's like the cotton candy effect, I like to say it. Man, big thing, I take a bite and there ain't much there, right? That's the way sin is so often. It looks like, but there ain't much when you get a bite. And for that, and there's also a desensitization that takes place. That means people lose their sensitivity. They become hardened to things and they engage in more and more. Sin and evil are to be hated. Amen? You that love the Lord hate evil. It's a lifestyle that ought to be despised. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the actions. Sin ultimately leads to death, and then eternal death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Well, how do we put this in practice? You heard me say it before. Place to start is hate evil in yourself. Don't view sin as an attractive thing. Don't view it as something nice that God's kept you away from. It is destructive. Amen? It is a killer. All of us have temptations. That means things that attract us, that would cause us to want to step out of God's will and do something. Amen? If you don't have that, you wouldn't have temptations. There are things you're tempted to do that you know you ought not to do. Right? Focus on the wickedness of sin. And those things you're tempted to. When you feel temptation, focus on the evil that's in it, not the pleasure that's in it. Amen? Remind yourself of the evil past sins done in your own life. Hate it. Hate what sin used to do to you. Hate what sin has done to you. Amen? Remind yourself of God's love for you, how He rescued you. Don't despise that love. Don't throw it away. Amen? Learn to hate it in yourself. Remind yourself, because we get looking at stuff, we start looking at what we think is the plus side of it, we can talk ourselves into all kinds of stupidity. Satan's a master at helping us come up with reasons why. I tell you what, we need to keep the evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Hate it in your own life. Amen? Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. It's not a neutral thing. It's not a light thing. It's not just that God said so. It is destructive. It's like poison. You know, it's like fooling with a rattlesnake. You know, you'd only poke the bear so many times before the bear's going to tear you up, right? Amen? I mean, that's how we ought to view sin. There ought to be a fear of it in our own life. The destruction that it's going to bring in our own life. In our own mind, in our own body, in our own relationships. And then next, learn to hate evil in those around you. Not hate the people that do evil, but hate the evil. Look at what it's doing to your family, your friends. Look what sin's done to them. Look where it's taken them. If you love them, you hate the evil. Amen? If you love them, you hate what sin's doing to them. You want to see them rescued out of that, away from what they're going to reap, away from that whirlpool. Amen? You understand what I mean? The more you love somebody, the more you're going to hate the evil in their life, because what it's going to do to them. Where it's going to take them. How it's going to destroy them. Amen? We've got to learn to hate evil and those around us, especially those who we love, our families, our friends. Look around at the unsaved. Look what sin's doing to them. Look at the wickedness of sin. Look at the damage of the evil in the lives of those who have rejected God or don't know Him. Look what's going on. Amen? Remember the song, Rescue the Perishing? Well, that ought to be our thought. These are people drowning. Amen? Those caught up in sin and evil are drowning in it. We ought to be wanting to rescue them. Jude 1:23 says, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Saved with fear, snatch them out of the fire. That has the idea of rescuing somebody from destruction. That's how we ought to view our loved ones that are away from God. The evil and sin in their life's going to crush them. It's going to tear them up. Amen? It's going to bring hurt in their life. Yes, they may get back to God, but in the meantime, Satan's going to wreak havoc and destruction. It's because sin always brings destruction. And if left alone, it ultimately brings death. I mean, that's the path. Sin unrestrained in this natural life leads to death. It leads to the degradation of the body and the mind and the soul and leads to death. That's the natural path of sin. Obedience leads to life. And it's not just talking about eternal. It's here and eternal. Amen? Both. One path leads to life, one to death. For that reason, sin and evil make God angry. Because they ain't just doing it themselves. People with sins hurting all those around them. It's bringing destruction into this world. It's destroying the creation. It's destroying people. That's why God hates it. Amen? That's why God hates it, because it's destroying people. God judged the righteous, and God's angry with the wicked every day, Psalm 7:11. God's angry with the wicked every day. Proverbs 6:16, these six things does the Lord hate. Seven, yea, are an abomination unto Him. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. All the wickedness isn't outside the church, is it? Amen? I tell you what, God hates sin in every form, wherever it shows. God's going to judge it. Ephesians 5:5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, who's an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I don't care what your theology is, God's still going to judge sin. Well, no matter what your theology says, God's still going to bring judgment and wrath upon those who disobey and sin. Hey, I just want to remind you. I know it's all around us. Man, it's everywhere you turn, the evidence of sin and evil's around us. You can't hear, see, go anywhere without reminders that we're in trouble as a society in accepting evil and wickedness. And most people do not have a clue. Most of them don't even know. And yet they're continuing to send out the ripples, not even knowing. Well, I want to challenge us, don't get desensitized to the evil around you. Evil still ought to distress you. Amen? Sin still ought to distress us. In our own life and the lives of those around us, sin ought to distress us. Don't get lax. You know, don't get lax in your own life. And by that, I don't mean, as Dad preached the other day, we got to make wise choices in adapting in the world we live in. But wise choices never includes disobedience to God. Amen? Let's be careful. Having therefore these promises, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I know a lot of people are pulling back today. A lot of people are disappointed or discouraged. They're not challenging themselves to be all they can be for God. They've taken the path of liberty, not just from man rule, but the path of liberty to self-indulgence. Many are becoming used to the evil and seem to be very willing to peacefully coexist with it without a murmur. And I don't mean being rude, and I don't mean being out of line. There's a time and a place for everything. And I don't mean destroying relationships to make a point. But I do mean this. If a loved one of yours had cancer that you know would kill them, and you knew it could be cured, you would be on them from time to time to get in and get that thing taken care of, wouldn't you? If you really cared about them. Well, I tell you what, the sin that is afflicting people in the long run is worse than any cancer. And we know the cure for it. It don't have to be that way. Amen? Let's not forget, we have the answer to what ails the world around us. Amen. Truly, we have the answer. Let's go on in holiness, striving to please God in all things and not do harm to anyone. Amen? To do no harm to anybody, but strive to please God in everything, show the way to a better life for everybody. Those who know the way and those who don't know the way. Let's be examples of the way that leads to life more abundant and life eternal. Amen? I hope you get the point. People lose sight that sin's evil. And sometimes I thought, even as I heard, I know good brethren, well-intentioned. But they kind of left me with the impression that if you wanted to have fun, you could choose to sin. But if you wanted to make it to heaven, you had to do what God wanted you to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is a good life. This is the best life. This is the life that leads to life more abundant here and hereafter. Let's not leave the impression with anybody around us that they've been restricted from anything good. God ain't restricted nobody from anything good. What He's restricting from is those things that kill. Amen? Those things that destroy. Don't get the idea in your own life God's keeping you away from good things that you ought to have. God's put a fence up to keep you alive. Amen? To keep you away from those things that destroy. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Amen? Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. God give us wisdom. Amen. May God help you. Appreciate you.